happy and thankful to be here today and be able to speak to you again. Good to see all of you. Glad to have the visitors. Appreciate your interest in seeking to serve God and to do as He would have us to do. Lesson is the spiritual conflict. We've got many scriptures that tell us about God's love for us and His grace for us. He made it possible for us to have the hope of eternal salvation through the shedding of His Son's blood upon that cross. The nations around us that claim to follow God's word teach a different kind of grace. And when you study their doctrines, you see that they take part of God's teachings and ignore or try to change the meanings of other of God's teachings so that in their definition of grace, it's that God does everything and we can do nothing. We cannot do any kind of works, even though the scriptures clearly show that we're going to be judged by our works. We are responsible, and so the passage they quote and misinterpret so often, Ephesians 2, that for by grace have you been saved through faith and not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, is taken out of its context and meant, given the definition that you can do nothing to be saved, you can't do any works to be saved, works don't have anything to do with salvation, it's all grace. That's just not what the Bible teaches. We have many passages that warn us that we are responsible. We have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ if we want to be true worshipers in the sight of God. In fact, we're told various things that we must do if we're going to be successfully true worshipers and be saved in the end. We have to actually cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. It's my responsibility to do that. I have to buffet and bruise this body to bring it into subjection to God's will, to bring it into bondage, lest after preaching, teaching to others, I myself should be rejected. I myself have to be involved in giving all diligence to make my calling and election sure, adding to my faith God's attributes and abounding in them that I might never stumble. I myself must work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Only I can be faithful unto death for myself, that I might receive that crown of life God has for those who are faithful unto death, unto Him. So that's our responsibilities. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 10 through 20 to start off with, that we are in a spiritual conflict, and in order to be successful, we have to be properly attired. We have to be ready for battle and engage in that battle correctly. But if we're not properly dressed, if we don't have this armor that God tells us about on, if we're not using this armor, then we cannot be successful and faithful unto death. We can't do God's will correctly. So beginning at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, we read, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with all taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all times or seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, which for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Look at all the emphasis in that series of verses that is telling us that we have action that we must be engaged in, that we have responsibilities that we must take upon ourselves. He says, be strong, put on, stand against, take up, stand therefore, girded your loins, put on, shod your feet, taking up the shield of faith, take up the helmet and the sword, with all prayer, pray. All of these things are commands that God is directing to me as a Christian and to you as a Christian to be properly prepared with the weapons of our warfare, with the attire that we must have on in this spiritual conflict, this spiritual battle. Now we all understand it's not physical. It's not a physical battle. Like has to be fought against evildoers on this earth. This is a spiritual battle. So these are spiritual things that we have to put on. And so how do we do that? Well, we're going to look today at some of the incidental or the main things that we put on here. But, you know, there's some people that I've had people tell me, you know what? I only have to go to church to take the Lord's Supper. And that's the only time they're ever here. And they say, there's no scripture that says I have to come Wednesday, Sunday evening or Wednesday evening or any other times you have assemblies. That I don't have to do that. Show me the scripture. And I'm thinking, what kind of an attitude is that? That our religion is based upon what I have to do to go to heaven. It's not even found anywhere in the Bible. It's what I want to do to go to heaven. And so as we study these passages, we're endeavoring to find out what will help us to be more equipped and to be more faithful, to be more spiritual minded, to have this protection on. This is offensive and defensive use of weapons. So it protects us, but we have to use it too. So when we go through these things, keep that in mind. And I want you to apply it in the sense of what can I do to make me stronger in serving the Lord. And I've dealt with this among brethren all my life that, you know, they're only going to do what they have to do. They don't want to do anything else. That's not what I find in the New Testament. When we assemble, when we were big enough, we had gospel meetings. We don't have too many anymore. We're so small. But when we had gospel meetings, we had for years and years, two a year, here and in other places of worship. Usually tradition in our society here, we meet three times a week. And I'm always running into people that Their religion is based upon what I have to do to go to heaven, not what can help me be stronger. When you think about putting on this armor, I want you to think about what can I do as a Christian to be closer to God. Now, sometimes we can't attend all the services that the local congregation has. We got a visitor here with us. He's a trucker. He's on the road. He knows in his vocation that he's going to find a place to worship God on the Lord's Day, and that's what he does. That's why he's here this morning. Okay? So, circumstances might keep us from making all the services. Me working in the prison as a guard now, the best thing that I've got, I have to work Sunday afternoon. So I don't get to be here while I'm here today because I'm on vacation. But I don't get to be here normally in the afternoon. I'll be here this afternoon because I'm on vacation. But I'm here Sunday morning and I'm off Wednesday and Thursday. So I get to be here Wednesday evening. Okay. The point is, when we put on this armor, I want you to look into your own heart as I have to look into my heart. Am I doing all that I can do to be closer to God? Am I really wearing this armor as best I can to be faithful to God? What can help me be more faithful? How often do I pray to God each day? How long do I pray? Do I say a minute prayer when I pray to eat? That's okay. God doesn't say you have to pray an hour long. But is that the only time I pray during 24-hour periods when I sit down to eat? Do I pray enough? Am I talking to God enough each day? Am I letting God talk to me? Well, He only talks to us one way. Not going to be in your dreams. Not going to be clairvoyant. Not going to be meditation. It's going to be you reading or listening to His Word. So, I have found in my short lifetime that the more I listen to God's Word when I have that opportunity. Now, our trucker friend here, he can probably do what I do in my car. Put in a CD, got the Bible, he can listen to the Bible. When I was in the perimeter vehicle the first 4 years before a guy caught me and said you couldn't do that anymore, I had put an MP3 in the car, and I listened to the Bible about 50, 60 times from Genesis to Revelation. That really helped me a lot. Why? Because it's God talking to me. I am drawn closer to God that strengthens me when I hear His Word. If you don't have time to read it, listen to it. Listen to it over and over and over, because it goes into your conscious mind, it goes into your subconscious mind. That's God talking to you. Now, when I was younger, I always listened to music on the radio. But as I got older and realized, you know what? Why am I just pleasing myself all the time? You know, it's like the crazy sports thing. And last night, I actually stayed up to watch some of the shenanigans going on TV. Usually, I go to bed before midnight. Stayed up. I have a dog that goes nuts when the fireworks happen. So that wakes me back up anyway, because he's trying to hide, or she's trying to hide and get under everything and climbed in the bathtub even. I mean, you know, they're trying to get away from my noise. They hate that noise. And I'm watching all these people going nuts over a year coming out. Why did they do that? They're getting a year closer to death. Eternity. What's the big deal about bringing in the new? I just, you know, maybe it's old timers. I don't know. But as I get older, you look at that and you say, that's not where it's at. Where it's at is having a connection with your Creator. How do we do that? We pray to Him. That's how we talk to Him. And how do we let Him talk to us? We listen to His Word. We study it. We meditate. David said, he meditates on God's Word day and night. Why? That he might not sin against Him. What keeps me on the straight and narrow way? What helps me not to sin? As David said, I hide the Word of God in my heart. Another term he uses is I treasure it. I store it up inside of me. Meditating, thinking about God's Word is what draws you close to God. That's all involved in putting on the armor of God. But we're responsible to do that. We have to get, and as you get older, you get closer to death, true, you get seem to get more spiritual minded if you're allowing God to try, and so you think more of these things, and so you do. You kind of care less for what's going on around us in the world, and you care more for what God has to say and what God wants us to do and how God wants us to think and how God wants us to live. So let's look at some of these things. First, the word strength. Our strength. We need strength in serving the Lord, brethren. You can't be a pansy, a piece of milk toast, like we've got around us today. Nobody can decide what they believe. They can't take a stand. They're afraid they're going to hurt somebody's feelings, you know. Hey, you can't be a Christian if you're not going to stand for the truth and be strong in the Lord and in the strength. You've got to have guts to stand up for the truth and not be afraid of what's going to happen to you because you stand for the truth. When you look back down through the centuries, just read your New Testament. People were killed. James, the first apostle, was martyred, killed, because he stood for the truth. We've got that documented here. We've got a lot of secular history of what happened to Christians in the first century. And so we're told that some of them were put on poles and lit up for night lights for the people. Others were put in the Colosseum with lions and different things that they had because of their belief system. And look at us today. We hardly even get a cross word set against us because we try to stand for the truth and be true worshipers. Very few people I've known of since I've been alive that actually got any kind of physical. I know one Christian when I was preaching in Brazoria, her husband didn't want her to go to the Church of Christ, so he locked the windows and the doors. Well, she got out, climbed out through a window, and came to church anyway, and he did some physical abuse on her. But most of us don't involve very little mental abuse and no physical abuse. Right now, that can change. With the political arena, you know, anything can happen at any time, especially with the weapons that some nations have. But, you know, we've got it very soft. So we need to be more diligent to put on this protection and these weapons to use them. We've got to, in order to do that successfully, we've got to have guts. We've got to be courageous, okay? Now, I might use some terms that the Holy Spirit doesn't use, but you got to man up. That goes for women too. What's that mean? Paul said it, behave like men. Come on. Be sober-minded. Be serious about your religion. It is the most important thing in your life, or should be. Above everything else. You know why? Because eternity's coming. And as you get older, you know you're getting closer and closer to that death. And you know what? Every time one of these celebrities die, we had Carrie Fisher die. The next day, her mother, Deborah, died. Debbie Reynolds, as we know. What's going on there? We all die. But when we see somebody we know, especially actors and actresses that we've seen on the stage, and we identify with them from parts they've played in the past, it's almost like a family member dying sometimes. And so then we start thinking about their lives and how sad. Their lives weren't given to the Creator. Their lives were given to each other. And they had a strong love for each other. But you know what? Our Creator says, you don't love each other first. You love me first. The two great commandments, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. A second one is like it to it, love your neighbors yourself. Our humanitarian love for one another, for our family, for our children, for our wives, our husbands, that's got to be second place to loving the Creator. And we got to keep things in perspective. And understand that our first love is got to be God. He created us in His image. He's given us everything that we have. Every time we sit down and eat, it's because He gives it to us. Every time we take a breath of air, it's because He's making it available. He's holding this universe together so we can function from day to day and enjoy the blessings that He's made available to us. Is He first in our hearts? Are we putting on this armor? Well, we can't if we don't have courage. Courageousness, confidence. The Christian feeding on the meat should not be weaklings. We read about that, we start off with spiritual milk. We convert somebody or we're raising our children, and as they grow and they learn more of God's Word and they grow from the milk to the meat, people we convert out of false teachings and practices and religions, and they grow with the milk and they get stronger. Okay, we understand that principle. God must be our inexhaustible source of power. In 1 Corinthians, there was another passage I forgot to read. Let me get back and read that before I go to this other one. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, when Paul's talking to Timothy. He was an evangelist, but the principles for all of us as Christians, he says, therefore, at 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, you commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now notice what he says about what he's going to be going through as an evangelist, gospel preacher. He says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you that Christians aren't militaristic. The Holy Spirit tells us we are. We're soldiers. That's why we have an armor to put on, to use in a spiritual battle. No soldier of service entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. And if also a man contend in the games, he is not crowned except he's contended lawfully. So now he uses another example, the Roman games that everyone was familiar with, Greek and Roman games that everyone was familiar with. You had to contend lawfully. Follow rules. That's what we have to do as God's children. The husbandman that labors must... Let's see, I'm reading too far here. So the thought goes on down, but that's enough. And then I wanted to read 1 Corinthians 16, 13. A familiar passage there where it says, watch ye, and I think I quoted part of this, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, or behave like men, act like men, act mature in response to God's will. Be strong. Be strong and courageous, as the song goes. Let all that you do be done in love. We have to be strong. We have to be courageous. So putting on the whole armor of God involves how do we make use of our time to be closer to God, to be stronger. You know why? Every day we battle against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. As long as you're alive and until you lose control of your mental faculties, you are responsible for what your body does. And God tempts us from time to time to think, say, and do things with this body that's not right, that's not pleasing to God. We have to battle against that. We all have different weaknesses. Some are the same, some are different. We have to identify our weaknesses, where the devil, he's looking for the weak spot in the armor so he can get us. He knows our weak place, okay? But we have to identify that. We cannot be ignorant of the devices of Satan, can we? We have to understand how he tries to destroy us and get us away from the Word so we won't be true worshipers. Look what he's doing around us in the world. Look at all the false religions that you don't find authorized by God. Catholicism, denominationalism, all kinds of cults. You name it, it's out there. And man almost daily conjures up more false teachings and practices with God's Word to lead people away from what you find here. So, as Christians, we understand here's the power. It's the power here. How can I be courageous? How can I be steadfast and full of strength from God? It's through His Word. I have to put this armor on. All right. The psalmist says in Psalm 31:24, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all ye that hope in strength." Now, as you look at what we're putting on as God's children, this armor, you'll see all these things connected together that make us strong and courageous in the Word of God, in doing His will and being faithful no matter what the devil has to throw us at us. Because we let God's Word permeate into our thoughts. If we try to meditate upon it day and night, if we try to really love God above all this stuff that the devil shoots at us in the world, oh, I gotta go to this, I gotta do this, I gotta see this, I gotta feel this, I gotta experience this. It's a never-ending thing to please the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. But when you turn your focus by putting God's armor on to Him, and your whole life becomes, what can I do to please God? I want God to be pleased and happy with me. I want Him to feel good about me. There's so many passages that talk about being well-pleasing to the Lord. There's the battle. The battle is me versus God. It's not the homosexual versus me. Homosexuality is wrong, but people focus on something and that becomes their main agenda. No, no. The main agenda is I want to please God. That's why I'm here. That's why He created me in His image. Most of my life is, when I look back, a lot of it's trying to please myself. And when I got into problems and sin, I was pleasing myself or somebody else. Now, you can get in trouble trying to please other people, too. They want you to do things that aren't right. So you got to be very careful. The devil's going to attack you, not only from within, but from without. That's why we need this armor. That's why it's so important that we take every advantage in our lives to wear the armor of God. And so we can be successful in pleasing God, okay? Now, it's not, a lot of times we become so self-centered that we don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. I want to be happy. Is it wrong to feel that way? No. What the Bible tells us to. Fear God. You need to understand, behold the goodness and the severity of God. Jesus Himself said, I'll tell you to fear. Don't fear the guy who destroyed your body and after he kills you, he can't do anything else to you. I'll tell you who to fear. You fear him and destroy both body, soul, and hell. We've got to be afraid. We've got to have that kind of godly fear, which is a deep respect for who God is and what He has set up and what's going to happen in eternity, heaven or hell. But what I'm saying is the driving, motivating factor should be, I want to please God. Look at, He created me in His image. He's given me all the wonderful things I've enjoyed my whole life. I'm still alive because of Him. So I need to focus on pleasing Him instead of myself. And there again, to me, as I get older, that's where the real battle is. It's a battle between me trying to please God and trying to please myself. So putting on this armor is so very important. As the strength of the Lord comes to us through our increasing in His knowledge, we become more and more patient and long-suffering. One of my biggest shortcomings is patience. I'm very impatient. I've got to kind of, just ask my wife, she'll tell you. I become very aggravated very quickly. I have a temper that flare up really fast. But it goes out quick, too. I don't have the German long, you know, I'm going to remember what you did to me forever. I don't have that. I short-term memory, so. But I get mad really quick. Yeah. And my poor wife is, she's taking the brunt of that in our married life. My responsibility to learn to control that as long as I'm alive, better and better, and I'm still working hard at it. I think that's why he lets me live this long. Try to control myself more. To do that, I have to identify my weaknesses. Okay? Let's go to Colossians 1, 9 through 11. I'm going to have to stop here pretty soon. We're about run out of time for this morning. I've been told I'm preaching this afternoon, so I'll continue if the Lord willing this afternoon. Colossians 1, let's look at 9 through 11. Beginning at verse 9, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make requests for you, that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, okay, how do we apply God's Word to our lives? How are we successful in being true worshipers? The only way we're going to go to heaven is by being true worshipers. You know, there's vain worshipers, there's will worshipers, there's ignorant worshipers. The only kind of worshiper who's going to go to heaven is a true worshiper. Okay, we have to be filled with what? The Holy Spirit? No. A lot of false teachers say, oh, you've got to have the indwelling Holy Spirit. You'll feel it. You know it. He'll lead you. He'll do what He needs to do for you. No, that's not what it says. It says, be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's why I say, when you're in the car traveling, have CDs, and they're easy to get now, of the Bible, which translation, and just listen to God's will. If you can't focus, then listen to a cappella spiritual music. We did that on our trip. And we were singing along. It helped me and Desina to be closer to God because it's spiritual music. Jesus said, through the inspired writers, if anyone happy, let him sing. Sing what? Not worldly songs. Songs to praise, glorify, honor God. Things that keep us closer, get us closer to God. So be filled with the knowledge as well in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? Verse 10. To walk worthily of the Lord. Unto all what? Pleasing. Oh, pleasing of myself? No. No, I get pleased. When I'm pleasing God, that pleases me, makes me feel good, makes me feel content, makes me feel at peace, makes me have joy, makes me have hope that I'm going to get to be with God to serve Him forever and ever in heaven. Okay? So there it is. To walk worthy unto all pleasing. How do we do that? Look at the next thought. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Huh. If I'm watching worldly things on TV all the time and reading worldly books all the time and engaging in worldly things and I'm not thinking or praying or studying or listening or being involved in God's will, I'm not going to be able to increase in the knowledge of God. I won't be able to bear fruit in every good work. The devil's going to try to lock me into the worldly things, so I won't be spiritual minded. That's why I encourage Christians, you take every opportunity you've got. If you can assemble when your local group is assembling, come and assemble. Why? Because you're pleasing unto God and you grow closer to God. When you listen to the Bible on the CD or the radio or listen to spiritual a cappella music, I don't encourage anybody to listen to this music on radio. It's got the instrument. Some Christians think that's fine. I don't think that's fine. That's an addition. Well, it's not worship. Wait a minute. You mean that's not a spiritual song anymore just because it's not worship? It's still a spiritual song. You're saying spiritual things. It's in a melody, so it's a song, hymn, or spiritual song, but you're using another kind of music with it for entertainment. Get real. Don't do that. If you're going to listen to spiritual music, make sure it's what God authorized, a cappella. That's the only spiritual music He authorized in the New Testament. We've had people right here, members of this church, argue that, well, what I do at home is, I do what I want at home. That's not worship. Beg your pardon. When you pray to God at home, that's worship. It's worship not just when you assemble here in a group. Wrong definition of worship. You can be driving down the road in your truck and praying to God. That's worship. Okay. That's being an assembly to worship God. So we need to use the Bible definitions of things. We can be strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory unto all patience. There it is again. I get hit right between the eyes. Patience. I think that's why we've been given wives. I guess you could say the other side of that too. The closest relationship on earth is husband and wife. I'm telling you what. You better learn patience or your marriage will not make it. Because men and women aren't the same. They're, you know, it's like the guy says, one from Venus, the other from Mars. Well, there's some truth to that. Even though they were taken out of us, a rib, God made them different. And I'm talking about thinking here. You got to learn patience. You got to learn to give. You got to learn to change and not always get your way. That's what marriage is all about, not just having children. You know, yeah, marriage is procreation. No, it's a lot more than procreation. That's part of it. So I'm still working hard at that. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you. Still working hard at trying to be patient, trying to understand, trying to give and take. Because I'm a man. I want to be the boss. It's got to be my way or the highway kind of attitude sometimes. Us men get. And all these women will attest to that. Now, there might be some exceptions. But that's a working relationship that helps me to learn patience. And I found that if I can have patience with my wife, and I'm not saying it's her fault, it's my fault, I can have patience with other people a lot easier. That's the hardest place. I have a lot better patience at work than I do at home with my wife. And why is that? Well, I control myself better at work. Like, you know, my wife, I just, where did control go, you know? Patience. Patience is very important. And, well, here's one that's tied with patience. What's it called? Long-suffering. Now, we all understand the word suffer. We all understand the word long. Now, if I'm suffering, you know, my wife may not be treating me correctly. She may misunderstand something. She may have the wrong idea or attitude. Her opinion's different than my opinion. Well, how do I handle that? Do I get mad and have a fight? Yeah, usually get upset. I'm supposed to be long-suffering. That's tied with patience. Patience and long-suffering. When you're involved in a situation that you don't have control, how do you handle it? Well, I usually get mad, slam doors, stuff like that. Now, fortunately, God's blessed me. I don't say bad language. You can ask about that. I got away from that years ago, but I still get upset. I am responsible to God if I want to go to heaven in putting this armor on to be patient and long-suffering. And guess what? It's not patient and long-suffering. You're wrong. I'm going to be patient. What's it say there after long-suffering? With what? Joy. Oh, wow, God. Are you sure I can do this? You're asking an awful lot of me. Because that's not my attitude, is it? Now, I have to learn to be patient, long-suffering, with joy. And be happy about controlling myself. That's part of wearing this armor. Now, I'm probably jumping ahead of myself, but I kind of, as I get older, I kind of say what comes into my mind, which can be bad sometimes. But that's a lesson for this morning. So we'll stop there. And Lord willing, we'll continue this thought. And like, one good thing about getting old, I don't care anymore. When I was young, I had to get through this lesson one time. And I got 3.5 pages. I don't care anymore. If I take 6 lessons to get through it, that's fine. I hope it don't get too boring to you in drawing it out. But as you get older, things come into your mind that aren't there in your outline. And so I can't do what I used to do when I was young. But I try to control myself at least to stop when the time's up. So in closing, if there's anyone here that wants to respond to the gospel in any way, we can help you do that, whether it's becoming a child of God upon your faith in what the Bible teaches, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ before men, being immersed in water to reach the soul-saving blood of Jesus Christ. We can help you do that. If you're a child of God and you want prayers to the congregation for any situation, just let us know. We'd encourage you to come while we stand and sing the song selected.
I am resolved no longer to linger.